to another episode of LA Podfidential. I'm your host, Chauncey Talese, and today I'm going to be joined by Wes Campbell, as always. LA Podfidential is brought to you by Sports Adonte and part of the Pulse Podcast Network. If you love this podcast and love West Coast sports, you need to check out sportsadonte.com right now. We are a West Coast player-centric media platform, and our passion is to feature the great West Coast players of the NFL, college, the NBA, and pro wrestling. We're also fully dedicated to giving expert weekly and daily advice in the world of fantasy football. We offer three different affordable membership packages, monthly, yearly, and lifetime. When you go to subscribe, make sure to use the promo code LAPODFIDENTIAL and get 10% off any package. Make sure to connect with us once you're subscribed. Now, in today's episode, we have a lot of NFL gossip to get to as free agency is a week away. We have Jason Witten's triumphant return to the Dallas Cowboys. Todd Gurley's decomposing knee. There's a lot of superhero and movie shit to get through. But first, a message from TixFlix.
Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With TixFlix, the price you see is the price you pay. And TixFlix just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TixFlix.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location, pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TixFlix.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TixFlix. That's TixFlix.com, TixFlix.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
Okay, so free agency starts March 14th at, I believe, 1 o'clock p.m. West Coast time?
Yeah, West Coast time.
West Coast time, and, you know, the rumor mill is already heating up. You know what, though? Before we get into that, we have to cover some stuff we didn't get to last week because, of course, once we record and post this, the news blows up. First of all, Jason Witten is coming back, baby, for 16th season.
That's right, Mr. Cowboy 2.0.
The Romo that wasn't in the announcement booth is coming back to play tight end for reasons that can only be said that he's bored and didn't like doing TV.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to go based off his official comment, it was, I still have the fire to the fire to play football and everything. And he's noticed that the team has pieces in place to be a championship team. You know, he wants to sit there and help develop the young players.
Sure.
And from some of the fans that I've talked to, it's kind of like mixed reviews saying, like, why would we want to bring him back?
That's a good question.
Versus, you know, oh, great, Jason Witten's back. Here we go.
I mean, for me, like, cool, they're not going to have to pay him that much, so whatever.
Yeah, I think they're paying $3 million,
okay,
and then with incentives and everything, max out at five.
Yeah, so
I mean, it's a 1 year contract.
I know, so. And presumably he will only play one more year and then pack it in again.
Yeah,
but I just remember year 15, and it's just kind of apparent that, like, all right, he's just not that guy anymore. Like, I know that was the bad year.
Yeah,
and even was he good though in the Dak rookie year though? Like,
yeah, I mean, but he's. Yes, over the years, his receiving total and yards have, like, gone down, but that's, you know, expected with age.
Yeah.
But I think it's a smart move to bring him back just because, you know, we had three young tight ends last year in Jeff Swaim, Blake Jarwin, and Dalton Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
Two rookies and Swaim, who was been there, I think, 3 years?
Okay.
3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I think it's 3 years.
No, actually 4 years because he's a free agent this year.
Oh, all right.
And so, you know, I don't know if they're going to bring him back or bring Swaim back now that we have Witten and Schultz and Jarwin under contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a smart move. That way you can sit there and you got a Hall of Fame worthy tight end. And you got these young guys that just came in. Why not sit there and develop them a little bit?
Right.
Oh, and sorry, I forgot. Rico Gathers.
Not anymore. He's gone, isn't he?
Well, he was on the practice squad.
Didn't they cut him?
And then they brought him up. I don't think they've cut him yet.
I feel like they cut him. Because I felt bad. I was like, oh, Rico. I remember seeing him at camp last year, and I liked the name. It's a great name.
Yeah, I don't think they cut him, because he was with them during the season, so unless he was a late...
I feel like it was a late cut, because like, someone picked him up. Like, I want to say Jacksonville, but I know it's not Jacksonville. I think, because I remember like, I brought it up in the group chat, I'm like, oh, Rico. But my fear would be, like, them just trying to give the ball too much to Witten. I'm hoping they're smart enough not to do that, because...
No, they've said that, you know, granted, this is all talk, but we'll have to wait to see, you know, the organized team activity, the OTAs,
right.
Training camp, preseason, all that good stuff, that he's only going to play, I think they said, like, 45% of the time, 35%, okay. So it's not going to be like he once was.
Okay.
But, you know, he was a great blocking tight end.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a great blocker. Look, no one's besmirching his resume.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that was a position early in the year last year where we struggled. We didn't have consistency.
I know. But I just worry about that kind of thing. Like, good for him for wanting to chase a ring. That's fine. That's good for him.
Yeah.
I just hope the expectations are a little tamped down, because, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he would... Jason Witten's the type of player where he's not selfish.
No, that's true.
And
he's not.
He's going to sit there and put the team's needs first before his own.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he already has the resume for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, easily.
It's just not... He's not going to sit there and go out and ball out like he did in 03, like early in his career. Exactly. So why not bring him in to help stabilize the line a little bit, for that way Zeke can get some good runs in again.
Uh-huh. Which we'll see with Zeke. There's a lot of who knows what that's going to be, because like, he's probably looking for that Todd Gurley deal, and I don't think they'll give it to him. Which leads me to our next topic. Which, by the way, I just don't want Linton to look washed. Like, that's my only fear. I just don't want the sad, like, you know, like, oh.
Yeah, like.
Are you watching run around, you're like, oh, shit, he can't get separation anymore. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, they're putting, like, one corner on him.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that. But
no, absolutely.
But with Zeke, I'm sure he's looking at the Todd Gurley deal, which now looks really bad in hindsight. And almost, look, I went through a glass case of emotion on this one. I love that Todd Gurley got paid. He deserved it. But there was a small part of me that remembered why I didn't like it when they drafted him in the first place. And I thought about this. I remember where I was when they drafted him. You and me were in line at Togo's because we were getting food before Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
It was draft day. It was a Thursday.
That's right.
And also, I had interviewed the Woody Show that morning. Let me just pick those names up. Yeah. Anyway, I remember them drafting him with the 10th overall pick and just being, like, apoplectic about it, because I'm like, why the hell are they drafting a running back who's coming off an ACL tear? Granted, I know he was good in college. I remember Georgia Todd Gurley. Yeah. It's like, coming off an ACL, they're, like, way the hell far away from, like, needing a running back right now. Their team sucked, and that bore out, even though he had a good rookie year. But, you know, then, of course, Todd Gurley became Todd Gurley, but now we're to the place where he has arthritis in his knee, the same knee that was operated on. You're like, oh, fuck. Like, this is why all the people that are, like, running backs are dispensable look right. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. Because, like, I don't want the... I know they're going to pay him at least 2 of the years and then probably jettison him, but... God damn it. Like, at least this confirms that, you know, McVay wasn't, you know, not using him in the Super Bowl. He just couldn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you have an arthritic knee, like, what are you going to do? You can't. Apparently, said stem cell stuff that like, Jamal Charles had once upon a time and other people. But I got to say, I don't think this is going to be sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, knee injuries are always terrible.
Yeah.
That and back injuries. Mm-hmm. But... Yeah, for a running back, you need to be able to, you know, apply pressure and
well,
cut
especially and him. That's most of their offense is being able to do the jet sweep and you know, teams are afraid to like, oh shit, if we leave Gurley open then he's gone and then it leaves everyone else open.
Exactly.
He's the engine that drove that offense. That's why before they found Cheeseburger Anderson, the offense cratered because teams are like, oh shit, they're not, if we give the they give the John Kelly, we're fine.
Yeah.
Or they, like, Malcolm Brown is out too. So they can't do anything there, and that's why they struggled against the Eagles and they struggled against the Bears too, because there wasn't much Gurley there either.
Yeah,
and so also why they struggled in the Super Bowl. They just couldn't run. They couldn't run effectively. That's a big part of it. It sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough when you know your star player goes down with an injury, but like,
it's just, this is a chronic thing. It's not gonna go away.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot right now.
Like,
do you sit there and draft a replacement for him?
I think what you do with that, I mean, they don't have a lot of picks, and I can imagine they'll obviously re-sign CJ. I can see them doing that.
Yeah.
I think they'll give Kelly a look. Like, they'll see what he can do. He played, like, limited when Gurley wasn't playing. He can't pass block. I know this because I saw it when they played the Eagles. But if they can improve that, they can kind of see what they have in there, see what they have there, and then maybe draft a running back late, but I don't think they're going to, like, use their first-round pick on that. If anything, they should trade that pick down and get more picks.
Do they have a first this year?
They have a first this year. They don't have a second or a third.
Oh, okay. That's what
they lost the second in the Peters trade, and they lost the third in the Fowler trade.
Yeah. Okay.
And they made some moves this week to clear out a little more space. They saved a total of, about $11 million this week. They didn't pick up John Sullivan's option, which is fine, because they have Brian Allen. They drafted last year. He played really well when he had to, so that's fine. And then they let Mark Barron go, which every Ram fan knew was coming, because he was always hurt. And even, you know, he was an okay linebacker, but he's not going to be missed.
Yeah.
So they freed up about $11 million, so they have about 36-ish to play with right now, unless they make any other moves.
Okay.
And I'm...
Well, aren't they going to release... your guys' safety...
Marcus Joyner is off the
book.
I think they counted that already. Like, he's off the books. He's going to be a free agent.
Okay.
We'll get to the safety market in a minute, because that's going to be the hottest market.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Joyner's not coming back. Sue's probably not coming back.
He's going to want that multi-year deal now.
Mm-hmm. Brockers is probably, I don't know if they're not, they said they weren't going to restructure his deal, so they probably either keep him at what he's at or just let him go. Fowler might not be back because the pass rusher market all of a sudden got super dry.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now Marcus Peters is still here. Aqib Talib, he's coming off the books too. I mean, they might bring him back for like lesser money because they're not paying him $11 million a year again.
No.
Those days are over.
Yeah.
And then the big free agent they know they have to probably retain is Roger Saffold. Everyone else is pretty expendable.
Yeah, I just don't know if the Rams are going to have the type of money that Saffold wants.
We'll see. I mean, I can imagine, like, it depends on how it's structured too.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, because this year they can do some stuff. Next year's where it starts getting dicey. I did hear some chatter because the Cardinals have made Josh Rosen available. Apparently, if someone offered a third round pick, they'd do it.
Wow.
I mean, I've heard second as well. I mean, if someone like really blows their hair back, then sure they'll take it. But I've heard he's like the minimum they don't want is a third round pick. And look,
which sucks.
Well,
I feel bad for Rosen.
Yeah, like you try succeeding in that shit show of a Cardinals situation.
Yeah.
No line. Only one receiver, and he's in year like 20. a coaching staff that's in disarray.
Yeah, David Johnson coming back from injury.
Well, yeah, and for the first five games, they had a coordinator who didn't believe in throwing to your running back.
Yeah,
so you try succeeding in that. I'm just saying he could be like a Goff, Trubisky, where the situation gets better. So guess what? He gets better.
Yeah.
And Washington, I'm sure, is like the one team that would probably trade the most for him because they need a cheap quarterback.
Yeah.
Let alone a quarterback.
A quarterback that they can stay healthy.
Yeah, right. Rosen could succeed in Washington, but, you know, I don't think the Cardinals would trade to the Rams, but I would at least consider maybe spending next year's third and this year's like fourth or something for Rosen. Because, look, you know, the golf experience is going to be the golf experience. I started coming around, and then you realized in the Super Bowl that he can't process information well, like when he's under pressure. It just doesn't, the game sometimes moves too fast for him, and next year is going to be the year you have to pay him $20 million. Do you want to do that? Or do you just want to be like, if we can get Chosen Rosen, let's see what we can do with him.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen, but it's fun
to
throw
out. I do think it's kind of early to kind of bail on golf.
It's not, though.
Well, I know it's at this point it's year four.
This is year four. Next year's the pricey year.
Yeah. It just, I would kind of wait and see this year.
I know. I'm just saying, like, they should at least consider it.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're an NFL GM owner, like, mm-hmm. you have to sit there and look at all your pieces and see, like, hey, you know, is this guy gonna perform, or is
and
this
especially
guy
with the girly, especially the girly situation, like, money's gonna get super tight next year.
Exactly.
Or do we want to throw $20 million for and pick up the fifth year on Goff, or do you want to maybe look elsewhere and see if you can just reboot the cycle, you know?
Yeah, find someone maybe cheaper.
Mm-hmm. And so. I don't know. I don't know necessarily the right answer to that, but that's kind of where I know they have to be thinking about it. Like, if we can get Rosen for that, like, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah.
Hell, even give them our first for Rosen and maybe a couple of their picks. Why not? I don't know. It's worth looking into, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure every team is probably looking around and going, like, well, we could trade for Rosen.
Yeah.
Like, even the Pats would probably consider it. Like, they have 12 picks, like, why not give two of them up? I don't want them to do that. It would hurt my feelings if Rosen became a Patriot, because I fucking love Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
And you know, but...
it's not like Tom Brady's getting any younger.
But isn't he? I mean, yeah. Whatever.
They're going to have to sit there and try and find their quarterback of the future.
Or they don't. It's like, fuck it.
Hey, I'll take that. I'd rather see them kind of struggle for a couple of years.
Oh, I would too. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see them go into the wilderness.
Yeah, or another day spa.
Yeah, well.
Or, sorry, massage parlor.
Well, massage parlor is always in at happy endings. So, whatever. So, speaking of the free agency market and the Marcus Joyner, the safety market has all of a sudden become the most robust in the league. The Giants didn't pick up their option to Landon Collins. Eric Weddle got cut by the Ravens, which was head-scratching. Darian Stewart got released by the Broncos. And let's see. So you're the big free agent safeties. You have Landon Collins, Earl Thomas, LaMarcus Joyner, Honey Badger, Adrian Amos, HaHa Clinton Dix, Eric Weddle, Trey Boston, Kenny Vaccaro, Jimmy Ward, and Adrian Phillips. Now, the Cowboys have pulled out of the Earl Thomas sweepstakes because I guess he's too pricey.
Yeah.
I mean...
Which isn't a bad...
No.
You know, it's smart, you know. They want to sit there and...
I know.
And spend the money on their own players.
They'll probably spend money on Weddle, though. Maybe. It depends on what, and if someone else, like, you know, throws in a bigger offer, but...
Yeah.
I could see him going there. I'd be good for him.
Yeah, I'd like Weddle... Shoot, I'd be happy with Collins. That'd be great, but I know
he's probably more expensive than Earl Thomas.
Yeah, I know. That's the wish list right there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd be happy with Weddle just because you got another great veteran leadership and mm-hmm. knowledge of the game, and everyone in Baltimore and at the time San Diego.
Well, everyone loved Eric Weddle.
Yeah, I mean I know San Diego fans were pissed that they cut him.
Yeah.
3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 years
yeah.
ago.
So, yeah, and not to mention, I've said since, I think, mid-season, like, when they first, or
mm-hmm.
what was it, last year?
Yeah.
When Earl Thomas came up to Jason Garrett and said, hey, you know, come after me if I'm available. I would love the Cowboys to spend their money on a good veteran.
Me too.
Defensive back to kind of help coach up those young guys.
They've needed it forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I don't think that, I don't know, I still think he'll be out of their price range too, because they picked up, they tagged DeMarcus Lawrence.
I mean, yeah, because now he's not available, but Steven, if you're listening to this.
Which we know you are.
Yeah. Make a deal happen. Pay the man.
I know.
We need him back.
And he's not the only one who got tagged. Let's see. Jadeveon Clowney's off the market.
Yeah. We're forgetting about probably the most coveted free agent. Most in demand, at least in the Chicago area. Robbie Gould got franchised.
Oh, he got franchised. poor Bears. They almost had him back.
Yeah.
His tag got picked up. Nick Foles did not. He's going to be a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Big Dick Nick.
I know. Big Dick Nick's going down south. And we're going to be replacing Sir Blake Bortles.
The garbage man.
Well, I wonder how the good place is going to change on that Blake Bortles won't be the starting QB.
Okay, well.
I'm just saying.
Speaking of Bortles.
Just saying.
Do you think someone's going to pick him up?
Oh, it depends if the Jaguars are going to release him or not. I don't think anyone's going to trade for him.
No.
I mean, if Washington can't get Rosen, they may have to either think about trading for him or Keenum because they need a quarterback badly.
Yeah.
But they need someone cheap too because they're still paying Alex Smith $20 million not to play.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Alex Smith. Yeah. I mean, he's getting paid, but it still sucks. But yeah, the pass rusher market all of a sudden got super dry, which means if you're Ndamukong Suh, Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson.
Ezekiel
Ansah. It's going to be a great day for you.
Yeah.
Because I could see, the Niners will probably pick him or one of those guys up because they have money to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, Trey Flowers, it didn't get picked up by the Pats.
Yeah, they did a franchise.
Classic him. Pats move. I'm sure he'll be a Colt. Especially because the Colts said they're not going to go after Le'Veon Bell. So that got interesting because I had him pegged there for it since October.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised because they're the ones that have the most cap space in.
Mm-hmm. They still do. It's them, the Jets, and the Browns that have the three the most, and all three of those teams have said no on a Bell.
Yeah. Well, I know the Browns have a good.
Yeah, they don't need him.
Yeah, they're set at running back.
Yeah, they got
Jets.
I think the Jets just don't want to spend money anymore.
Either that, or they just don't want the drama.
Well, that too, but I mean, Both GMs that have been to the Jets clogged their cap badly.
Yeah,
and even last year they were really lamenting that Tremaine Johnson deal, which again I could have told them. Every Rams fan has been why the hell are you spending that much? I mean, by all means do it because otherwise we will. But
yeah,
let him go. Why'd you do that? He wasn't good, and the Rams took the money that they saved on him and rebuilt their whole secondary.
Yeah.
Oh, Dante Fowler will probably be on the market. He was fine. He was good last year. He had moments, but I wouldn't give him a huge deal if I were the Rams because you just don't have the money to do it.
Yeah.
So pass rusher is going to be fun, and then plus the draft is super pass rusher loaded, so it's going to be a great summer for that. I'm sure the Packers will pick up somebody. They tried Wilkerson last year and it didn't quite work, but
yeah. Is it Clay Matthews available too?
I think they officially cut him. Or they're just gonna let him walk. I don't know if it was a free agent or he's gonna be cut, but yeah, I'm sure as far as the Rams are concerned, they'll probably pick up a couple. C.J. Mosley, he was the one that didn't get picked up. That's the one I was thinking of.
Oh
the
yeah,
the Ravens let C.J. Mosley go. He's gonna have a really good spring.
I think he was a free agent. They didn't release him.
Well, no, but they could have tagged him. They didn't pick him.
Yeah.
So yeah, if the Rams were gonna splurge somewhere, it's gonna be on veteran pass rushers, and because their linebacker core was a black hole last year because everyone was super young.
Yeah.
No, what would they? I don't know. So, assuming the Cowboys can't get Earl Thomas, can't get Landon Collins, would you be happy with Honey Badger?
I mean, I'd be happy with Weddle.
Assuming you can't get him.
Assuming
the Colts are all right, we're in the Eric Weddle business, or the Browns Eric Weddle.
I'd be happy with. Let's see.
Kenny the Car wouldn't be a bad pickup for you guys.
No, I think they were actually trying to get him
mm-hmm.
last year, but then
Tennessee. I think
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Yeah.
But yeah, I'd be happy with Ha. I was actually kind of bummed that Cowboys didn't draft him.
He was bad. He in Green Bay he wasn't good.
I mean, he was alright.
A lot of times we're you could just see him getting burnt. I don't know if that's a product of Green Bay's secondary just being super young and them just targeting Ha Ha because he's the only vet.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd love to see Honey Badger in a... I would love to see just a playmaking safety in the secondary. That's who I'd want to see.
Mm-hmm. Trey Boston wouldn't be bad for you guys either. Like, I was surprised. He was one of those guys that surprises available as long as they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, look. You got Jeff Heath as a strong safety, mm-hmm. and... Oh, God, he was a rookie last year. White? I forgot his name, but... you know, our secondary is young. We need to bring in that veteran that's been there for a while to kind of...
Yep, you do need a vet.
To really kind of help coach him up.
Right.
So...
And, you know, they probably have a good shot at him. He was good at the Texans last year. I think more than anything, he wants, like, a long-term deal.
Yeah.
So they could get him. And then the Cowboys also announced that they're not going to be... The Cowboys weren't in the Antonio Brown discussion. I'm sorry. The Jets, Cardinals, Broncos, and Eagles were all in the Antonio Brown trade discussion until today when they all backed out because I guess the Steelers want a deal by Friday. So it's looking like he's going to be a Raider. Which I'm sure the Steelers are like, best of luck.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Carr said they'd welcome him with open arms, but I'm sure they'd welcome anybody with open arms.
Yeah, at this point.
And they would be the team. They have $70 million to spend. They would be the team that would, you know, restructure his deal, even though he's turning 31. Tony Brown's great, but depend. Like, then again, they have 3 first-rounders to give up, so I'm sure they can spare one of them.
Yeah.
Especially, either the Cowboy or the Bear one. Because they're kind of roughly in the same space, so...
Yeah, later in the draft, so...
It's still... I find that very interesting that... Well, and then again, if the Steelers ask for their 4th overall, I wonder if the Raiders would do that. I don't know.
I don't know. I almost said the Ravens. The Raiders are one of those teams that... Between them and the Browns, you're like... You kind of scratch your head every year, like, what are you guys doing?
Oh, hey, it's working for the Browns now. They have a direction.
Yeah. But I feel like the Raiders will... And it's always that, like, that pun, like, oh, it's the Raiders. They're going to screw it up somehow.
Yes, they are.
So...
we don't know how, but I guess Antonio Brown's...
I feel like they're going to sit here and just kind of... They're waiting for that first year in Vegas, and then...
Well, that's where I was going to. They're probably like, "Hey, we can market Antonio Brown. You can put Antonio Brown on an Antonio Brown jersey on the Statue of Liberty in New York, right?"
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's easily marketable, and nobody knows who's on that team anymore. So yeah, I mean, why not have a star?
They'll have to have a star to help.
Although I do, I will caution, if that's where Antonio Brown ends up, I would just caution him, look at Moss's time with the Raiders.
Yeah.
I still remember on ESPN.com, I forget who it was, but when they do the preseason projections, like, oh, Randy Moss will be the MVP of the league. Ooh. I mean, I know, I thought he was going to be good too, but then you realize, oh, the Raiders are a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
The Browns released Jamie Collins. I'm sure he's going to be, you know, highly sought after. Darren Stewart wouldn't be bad for you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Rams are going to necessarily do with their money. I know, obviously, we said they want to sign Roger Saffold, but, like, I don't know, beyond that, I don't know what they necessarily do. Like,
maybe you guys get another, a veteran safety in there, like how we are.
Maybe. I wouldn't
hopefully try and do.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they really do need to replace that safety spot because LaMarcus Joyner is bad. You think you have like one more year with John Johnson before you have to pay him, and they should because he's amazing.
Yeah,
like I've been on that train for a long time that he's good, and last year in the playoffs vindicated me. No, even beyond the beyond the pick on Drew Brees.
Yeah.
He was great. He was just great in coverage. He saved a lot of drives. So they could use another safety to bolster that. Maybe that's what they draft for their second round pick. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Get younger. Just get younger there. Get a really good safety and be young there. I mean, I'm assuming they're going to trade down. I really think they're going to do it.
Well, I know. Obviously, Cowboys don't have a first this year, but, you know, we've had success with our second round pick, so I'm hoping that they can sit there and kind of continue that success and capitalize on that.
Exactly. And I forgot the Colts had the Jets second round pick this year. Because when they traded to get Nelson, yeah. Oof. Oh, and last Rosen point, I forgot, the Giants should absolutely trade for him, but they probably won't because they're stupid and think they can get another 2 years out of Eli.
I love it.
I know, it's amazing.
Like, I feel bad for, you know, Shaquan and Odell, but...
I don't feel bad for Odell.
Okay, but he got a young, talented receiver who's at the prime of his career, and he's got to deal with the corpse of Eli Manning.
I know.
But being a Cowboys fan, I'll take it.
It's kind of amazing where we've landed in the last year. Because remember, Eli got benched by McAdoo, and everyone's like, oh, God, but you can't do that to Eli. That sucks. Like, then now they're like, they want to ride him out of town on a rail.
Yeah, and I love the fact, too, speaking of that benching, that they benched him for Geno Smith.
I know. Well, that's what probably got McAdoo fired. That was his equivalent of Jeff Fisher, like, banning Eric Dickerson from practice. Like, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You crossed a line. Now, Eli probably should have just retired after that year, but I don't know. I'm sure everyone convinced him, well, Shermer's going to... You're going to get one more good year out of Shermer.
Yeah.
I mean, but then Eli was washed, so now they're there.
I'll take another year of Eli Manning going, like, what the H is going on here? And all his great facial expressions.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, it's really... I'm going to miss the memes. Let's see. Well, Le'Veon Bell, I don't know where he goes now. I mean, we said Tampa, but even then, I don't know. Like, I'm sure he overestimated his market. And I did, too, apparently.
Yeah. Let's see. Houston.
It's probably going to be Houston. Because I didn't realize they had, like, $75 million to spend.
Yeah.
So, why not?
I mean, if they're going to sit there and pick between the two backs, between Lamar Miller and...
Sure. Le'Veon... Yeah, they just better spend a lot of capital on their line.
Yeah.
Or they'll stay away from Stafford, you bastards. You don't deserve him after that Colts game, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You don't deserve him.
They just can't seem to be successful in the playoffs. Like, they'll be good in the regular season, but...
Well, look.
When it comes to playoffs, they always seem to...
Their problem was their line all year, and guess what came back to bite them? Their line.
Yeah.
I mean, duh. I mean, they weren't able to get a good pick because they traded up for Watson, which they absolutely should have done, but,
yeah,
you know, they sacrificed being able to get an offensive line first, which Watson almost overcame, but then, it like everything else, your weaknesses always come back to haunt you.
Yep.
One way or another. I'm trying to think, did we miss any big NFL stuff? I am curious... Where Antonio Brown gets traded, besides the Raiders. Because it seems like everyone else pulled out, but the Niners are still on the board, right?
No. I know they came out, Shanahan and John Lynch.
Oh, that's right. Out. They've been saying that they're not going after
him.
Which I don't know how much of that is bullshit, but...
Exactly.
I mean, maybe the Packers can do it, because they have 2 first-rounders, so...
Yeah, either that, or I saw, like, the Redskins and Titans as potential suitors. Oh my god!
I mean, Tennessee would be kind of fun, but maybe not because I don't know about Mariota.
Well, that and I know the Steelers said that they want to trade him to
an NFC team.
Yeah, so I don't know if Oakland would.
I'm sure like they don't count.
Yeah.
Fine, you want to go to Oakland? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one team we know that's not going to come back to bite us. Exactly. Even though I know Oakland beat Pittsburgh, but that's for totally different reasons.
Yeah.
Actually, let me think here. I think that's kind of it for the NFL gossip. It's been kind of a big week, so I'm not sure what.
Yeah, big in terms of like the franchise and franchise tags and.
I mean, the combine apparently was successful. I know.
It's a combine.
I know. I don't put my stock into the combine.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably would if I, like, had to cover it full-time, but, you know, it's not really... It's not really indicative of much.
Exactly.
But I'm sure once free agency heats up, we'll be able to see where teams are probably going to lean to the draft.
Yeah.
Which, that should be interesting. But for now, we're gonna switch gears a bit and talk about some superhero shit.
Yeah.
Kapow. Start with the sad news first. Well, sad news for you. For me, the show was canceled a couple years ago. But Arrow announced they're having their 10th and their 8th season with 10 more episodes. Their final season.
Yeah.
Stephen Amell got emotional. Like you know, he was really grateful for the opportunity.
Well, I mean, he's been doing the show for what, essentially 8 years now?
Yeah, it's going to be 8 years.
So, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, reading a couple different stories online about, you know, if season 8 was going to be his last, and obviously now it is, but, you know, they've pretty much told the story of Oliver Queen as Arrow, so
it had a good.
What else can you really do at that point?
It had a good run. I'm sure that'll tie into the way the crossover event ended.
Exactly,
and even still, he can still show up on the Flash every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's to say that he's just not going to have a weekly show anymore. Maybe he does cameos and
And plus, you know, he's due for a good run where he can like have an action movie here or there.
Yeah,
we'll see. I mean, he could have easily been in that Triple Frontier movie, which drops on Netflix next week, and I want to talk about that briefly, because that looks fucking awesome.
Oh, I didn't realize it was next week.
I know, I didn't either. Then I'm like, that's my one, that's the one pet peeve in Netflix, and we have a Netflix story to talk about in a minute, but we'll say Arrow kind of saved the CW for a few years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it basically gave him an anchor to build off of.
Yeah, and look at what they've done based off of that cornerstone.
They've what, 5 spinoffs now?
Let's see. You got
gonna be 6.
You got Arrow, Flash,
Legends,
Black Lightning.
Oh, is Black Lightning in that same universe? No. Or is it its own show? Well, it enabled Black Lightning to be made.
Yeah, and then soon to be Batwoman,
Supergirl.
Oh, and Supergirl. Yeah, I forgot about that. So yeah, 6.
Like, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And they kind of, you know, basically revitalized the CW, because they were floundering for a few years. They had some shows that were, like, expiring. Like, I think they came in around when, like, Gossip Girl was ending, and, like, other shows like Heart of Dixie were, you know, kind of bridging it, but then Arrow took it over, and then they got an identity.
Yeah, and come to think of it, there wasn't really, like a market for, like, a superhero TV
show. No, you had Heroes, which was mediocre at best, and the Marvel Netflix shows were mediocre at best, and that's why Marvel's pulling out of it, except for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Like, they were the ones that kind of solved it, and then, you know, when you have The Flash, which, you know, has really got, it really been, like, their best show, that kind of, it did better than the movies did with that character.
Yeah.
Which is kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the kid that's playing him now.
Ezra Miller?
Ezra Miller. I don't know why I'm blanking him. I bought Ezra Miller stock with Perks of Being a Wallflower, and I couldn't remember his name. I feel bad. Grant Gustin did a great job in basically defining that role. They've been able to integrate a lot of other stuff from that. They had a really good episode, which we'll get to in a minute. DC's other big news is Idris Elba's replacing Will Smith in Suicide Squad. Which, okay. That movie, the first movie, wasn't good, and they're basically spinning Harley Quinn off of the Birds of Prey movie.
Yeah, and I know they're going to sit there and try and reboot Suicide Squad, and, you know, they're bringing in a great director and James Gunn, but let's just hope that it's not like another like DC trying to steal Marvel director like they did with Joss Whedon, and
it
didn't pan out.
No, it didn't, but well, the Whedon thing was a different set of circumstances. They had to bring him out of the bullpen because what happened to Zack Snyder's family. So that's kind of different.
Yeah.
Sure. But they did try to steal him, though. They did want to steal him for that reason, but they kind of got lucky. Well, not lucky, but they kind of got a break with being able to let him direct a Justice League movie.
Yeah.
But then again, that's when the Whedon stock really plummeted. He did some stuff in his personal life, too.
Yeah.
The guy that was running the WB film division at the time got really hit hard in a Hollywood Reporter story today. Oof.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. And you read it, and, like, as horrible as it is, you look at it, if you look at it from a superhero standpoint, like, oh, that makes sense. Like, if that's the kind of guy they had running the show, then no wonder it was a mess.
Yeah.
But obviously the story is more serious than that. And that's not the podcast for that. We're not the podcast for that. Idris Elba will be taking over for Will Smith. Yay.
Yeah. Well, you know, Will Smith's going to be busy with, you know, the Aladdin sequel for just a Genie spinoff, because...
Yeah.
It just looks...
That's what's happening.
That Genie is...
We've beat the drum on Aladdin.
Yeah.
We'll wait till it actually comes out before we bury it, but yeah. Let's see. These other DC stuff... Well, those are the two big ones. Marvel released the new trailer for X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure Disney's like, can we just acquire like Fox already so we can just reboot X-Men? Because that's what this kind of looks like. It just kind of looks like it's running on its gears. Like, it's, you know, it's still looking like the Bryan Singer movies, which, fine, but I just, it looks okay. Like, it's really time to let it go. Like, even with Apocalypse, I'm like, this is kind of getting tired.
Yeah, I mean, I waited to see Apocalypse just because I wasn't kind of sold on it.
I saw it in theaters, man.
Poor soul.
Well, it wasn't, like, bad. It was just, like, eh, it was just mediocre.
Yeah. And I don't want to say that's how I feel Dark Phoenix is going to be, but I'm on that bandwagon too of they just need to reboot it and just let Disney acquire it.
And they're not going to let Disney, they're just going to have it, but
yeah.
The other part, like, I'm pretty sure, like, they show, like, Jennifer J. Law's Mystique might die in the beginning, which I'm sure that's actually going to happen because she's probably done at least two.
Yeah.
Everyone just seemed kind of done. Like, I thought after Apocalypse, that's, like, they weren't going to pick up everyone's contracts and they were going to come back, but I think they got them for one more.
I don't want to say let's hope that it's one more because, you know, ultimately, a good movie for Marvel to do and a good storyline was Avengers vs. X-Men.
Oh, they're not going to do that.
So I think that'd be fun.
No, I don't think
it would be.
I don't think they'll do it just because, like,
a lot of the
Avengers people are coming off the salary cap this year.
Yeah,
in one way or another.
Well, yeah, I mean, they could sit there and do it with the next Avengers they're going to do, the next set of Avengers.
True. I just, like, I think they're going to wait to do it, and by then I don't know if, like, you'll have Brie Larson as Captain Marvel and whomever down the road. Like, just
that's true.
Just build it from the ground up. Like, yeah. I don't think they need to do Wolverine again. Like, they should just focus on other characters. And
well, X-Men have so many.
Yeah, they can. They don't need. Yeah.
And, I mean, like, yeah, you'll need the core group.
Yeah,
but you
didn't have Wolverine wasn't even original X-Men. He didn't show up till the 80s.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying though. Like, you can sit there and have, like, you know, obviously. Oh god.
Like, I don't know. Tell a compelling Cyclops story. I'd like that.
Yeah. Why am I drawing a name on him?
Huh.
Professor X. There we go.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't have to have him, but you could sit there and have some of these other.
Yeah, you could have fun. You could have fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to tell the Dark Phoenix story again. I saw someone point out online, I don't remember who said it, but it's a great fucking line. Like, why do they keep doing Dark Phoenix? And they're like, well, that's like the X-Men Stairway to Heaven.
It's true.
But you don't need to keep playing the hits. They have, like, millions of other stories they can tell.
Exactly.
That's why, like, when they're like, oh, let's reboot Batman. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm excited for Matt Reeves's, like, the Batman, because I like Matt Reeves a lot. But I would love a Batman Beyond movie. That'd be cool. Like, it's totally, you don't need to do Bruce Wayne again. I mean, you'd have older Bruce Wayne, but you wouldn't need to do it, that whole thing again.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, kind of going based off of what we talked last week about Into the Spider-Verse, I think that was also what's great about that movie is that it wasn't just.
Yeah.
Peter Parker Spider-Man.
And it wasn't even really about Peter Parker Spider-Man.
No, you got Miles Morales, Gwen Stacy,
Spider-Pig. Peter Porker.
There we go, Peter Porker. Yeah. So,
you're not telling the same story again. It's new and it's refreshing and that's what you need to do. Otherwise, it's like you're running in circles. That's why, like, it was okay when they did the Batman origin story for Batman Begins because you needed to reset that aesthetic.
Yeah.
But and there was a clear arc with that. But we don't need to see Peter Parker be bit by a spider again. You don't need to see, you know, any superhero get another origin story. Like, you need to move away from that.
Exactly.
Like, Captain Marvel, I get why you need to because people aren't familiar with the character.
Yeah.
But, like, with Black Panther, they didn't need to do that because they kind of, it was a soft introduction when Civil War.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, once Disney gets X-Men, they can do fun stuff with it. They can trust that we know who these people are.
Yeah.
Like, you can briefly, like, or if, you know, if, like, with Cyclops, you can explore that more and, you know, whatever. Disney will be fine once they get X-Men. It'll be fun when they try to reboot Fantastic Four again. But this time do it properly. Well, no.
Yeah.
There's the version that works, and there are a lot of people have said this, like, because they make it, like, Like they're the Beatles. Like that was what the comics kind of were. Like they were like the Fab Four.
Yeah.
Like and make it just fun, like fun and kitschy. Like I thought Josh Strings had a good idea, but then it didn't end well.
Yeah.
Like I'm like okay, I could see that. I see them doing a dark like David Cronenberg kind of movie with the Fantastic Four, but obviously I was wrong, very wrong. So I'm like, other superhero shit. There was a new trailer for the Hellboy reboot. Which looked okay.
Yeah. It's just, it's hard when, you know, you picture one person playing that character.
And I like David Harbour a lot. I like him on Stranger Things.
Yeah.
But, it just, I don't know. I wish Guillermo del Toro had gotten to finish out the third one, but I get it. I don't know.
We can't have nice things.
No, and he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He's got 2 Oscars and a stop motion Pinocchio movie coming out on Netflix next year, and I think he signed on to do a movie this year as well that J.J. Abrams is producing, so he's fine.
Yeah.
And Hellboy looks competent. Looks fine.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. But and Captain Marvel comes out this week. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm very, I, you know.
You get Pulp Fiction.
No, he doesn't have a Jerry Curl. No, you get more. It's more like Long Kiss Goodnight era Samuel L. Jackson.
All right.
Like, he needs a Jerry Curl for to be Pulp Fiction Nick Fury.
All right, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Jerry Curl fro, yeah. I should say. But it's, yeah, it's midnight. It's early mid-90s Sam Jackson.
Yeah, and you get Phil Coulson back, so uh-huh. that'll be fun.
And for you Lee Pace heads, you get Ronan the Accuser for like a minute.
Yeah.
And also next month, I forgot, you get Shazam. That had a new trailer. Looks funny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that Shazam is good.
Yeah, it looks fine.
It looks entertaining, so.
Good for Zachary Levi for getting another starring spot.
Yeah.
My daughter certainly loves him as Flynn Rider in Tangled. Let's see, I'm trying to think, there's one of, oh, and another trailer, it isn't superhero shit, but another trailer news, the Game of Thrones finally dropped the season 8 trailer. Woo!
Yes.
It had everything.
That's been waiting forever for that, mm-hmm. And...
It had everything.
Yeah.
It had had White Walker horses, you had Cersei in heat check mode.
Yeah.
Presumably preparing for battle against somebody, you had dragons, you had ice dragons.
Yeah, and you also had, Jamie kind of,
yeah,
Jamie kind of leading into that, like, I'm fighting for the living, I'm not gonna sit and fight for my family type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's gonna be interesting.
Yep,
he's gonna sit there and defy Cersei.
They tease the Battle of Winterfell, which, according to E Weekly, is the biggest action sequence ever produced for television.
Really?
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, I believe it.
They've compared it to the Helm's Deep battle on Lord of the Rings: Two Towers. Wow. In terms of scope.
Okay.
It's like, all right, cool.
Sweet.
Each episode's going to probably be about 90 minutes.
90 minutes of...
I know.
I'll have to figure out how to watch it.
Oh, well, I'm sure I'll have HBO Now by then, because Dish isn't doing the right thing and being the bigger entity and settling things with Time Warner.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to pick sides with, you know, 2 large corporations, but I'm inclined to, you know, shit on Dish because they fight with at least one cable or one network every year. Like, I remember we had to bootleg some of season 3 of Sons of Anarchy once, because they fought with them for about a month, and then they're like, all right, fine, you can have FX back.
Yeah.
And they've done that with, like, CBS, they fought with them, and it's like, all right, at some point you guys are the bad guys.
Yeah.
So Game of Thrones comes out, what, April, is it 14th?
19th.
Okay, April 19th. 6 more episodes, all feature length. It's going to be great. The trailer was awesome.
I think I watched it 3 times back to back to back.
Wow.
Just because I was so excited for it.
Me too. Yeah, I was very, yeah. I'm like, I'm happy. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to leave. That's going to suck.
Yeah, I mean, it always sucks when a show of that caliber.
That's like the biggest. That's like the biggest show, and that's going to be the last, like, show everyone's kind of watching at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I know HBO's got the Watchmen show coming out in the fall, but I don't think it's going to be the same monoculture kind of thing. Game of Thrones is, like, the last monoculture show you'll probably have for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because we're all watching stuff at different times, different pace, and on different platforms.
Exactly.
So that's kind of a bummer, but it looks like it's going to go out the way it wants. They're going to go out on top.
I hope so, because We waited a year for it.
Over a year.
Oh, that's right, over a year.
Over a year. They sat out all 2018.
Making sure it's going to end right.
And well, they had to. Happy. Well, yeah, they have to film
and
it.
They have to film that big battle scene.
Yeah, which Miguel Spuchek, who did the Battle of the Bastards episode, and he also, I believe, he did the Loot Train battle as well. Like he's really good.
Yeah,
he's something I would like to see be able to helm an action movie.
God, that Battle of the Bastards was so good.
It was good. I think he did Hard Home too. If I'm not mistaken, I think he did the Battle of Hard Home.
Okay.
Where Jon Snow makes eye contact with the Ice King, but the Night King.
Yeah.
There you go. Sorry. And where you get that the gif of the Night King, come at me.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's one of their best directors. I'm hoping like Netflix gives him money to just do like an action movie.
Yeah, it'll happen.
And speaking of which, Netflix next week they do have the Triple Frontier with Ben Affleck, Charlie Hunnam, and Oscar Isaac, directed by J.C. Chander, who did Most Violent Year, Margin Call, and All Is Lost. That looks pretty badass.
Yeah, everything I've seen about it, it looks like it's going to be really good. So
I mean, I am kind of sad it didn't get to be what originally was supposed to be, but which was a Catherine Bigelow movie with Tom Hanks and at the time Johnny Depp, but. It went through so many different iterations. It's supposed to be about like the conflict on like the South American borders. I think it's like Brazil and Colombia and things, something like that.
Okay.
But then it became an action movie, which I'm all for. It's fine.
Yeah.
it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard that's what it is. This is a pretty solid action movie.
Okay.
Which good for Charlie Hunnam. He deserves a little bit of a reboot.
Yeah. What, you didn't like what was it, King Arthur?
No, nobody did. Well, apparently Disney did because they have Guy Ritchie Aladdin, but whatever.
Yeah.
Fine. also, South by Southwest is starting this week, which I think Jordan Peele's Us is like the closing movie, and I think you're going to get Pet Sematary there too, and a couple other stuff are going to drop.
Yeah.
I forget what else, but I think those are the two big ones. I'm trying to think. There's like one other superhero thing I wanted. Oh, well, let's talk about The Flash.
Yeah.
And I'll get back there.
So we had the long-awaited monster show.
Yes, we did.
Monster episode, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Of the season in King Shark versus Grodd.
Woo!
And not going to lie, but I think I overhyped it.
I think you did too.
Like I was expecting it to kind of be more of that
that
battle,
yeah.
And trust me, the fight that they had, it was a good fight, but it definitely I was expecting more fight versus the talking the setup.
Well, the episode was really about like the cure,
the cure, yeah,
and the subject of choice, which is the whole reason why Caitlin was willing to help Sisko with it, because as long as you give people a choice,
yeah, let them have their free chance to
mm-hmm.
find out what they want to do.
I mean, the episode was great just because it brought Joe back. I missed Joe.
Yeah, I think this I don't want to say the series has lacked, but.
It needs Joe.
Yeah.
You need Joe.
You need to have that father figure.
Well, also, Joe's the guy, like, he's like, whenever they talk about science or anything, it's just gibberish, and you need that. He was the audience conduit for that.
Exactly.
Which was great.
And, yeah.
Like, Nora tried to be that, but she also knows too much because she's a meta. So.
Yeah. Exactly. It's nice to have that, I don't want to say the...
Well, he's the audience surrogate.
Exactly.
Or it's like a blah 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 device. Like, oh, you're gonna do what now?
Yeah, explain it to me. Dumb it down.
Yeah, exactly. and that works. And plus, it was just nice having him with Iris and Barry again.
Yeah.
I'm wondering where they're gonna go from here because we're getting into the home stretch now.
Yeah, and based off of the you didn't see.
I don't get the previews because the CW app doesn't do that.
Well, based off the preview for next week,
mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
Oh,
it sounds like we talked about it. I think 2-3 episodes ago,
mm-hmm.
where they were teasing bringing Godspeed, another speedster, into the series, and that's what the big rumor is that Godspeed's going to get debuted next week because it shows in the preview it shows
Nora going back and talking to Reverse Flash, mm-hmm. and they're talking. It seems like they're talking about the timeline, mm-hmm. about how someone's trying to break out of the Speed Force or mm-hmm. break into it, mm-hmm. and Godspeed has the ability to take the Speed Force away from speedsters, which can kill the speedsters.
Well, isn't that what happened when like the Flashpoint storyline where you had not Zoom, but what was it?
Savitar.
There we go. Or it ended up just being, like, Dark Barry?
Well, I forget who it was in the comics that...
Well, I'm not gonna... I can't help you.
Yeah, that becomes Godspeed. Uh-huh. But I know it was, like, a friend of Barry Allen in the comics, and it turns into Godspeed. Okay. So I don't know if that's gonna kind of play the same role in the show, where it's...
Or it ends up just being Wally.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because what's he doing?
Well, they're saying in the episode he's in Tibet and he's with the Legends, so...
Oh, okay.
Him and Joe were in Tibet, like...
Wait, that's where they were?
Yeah, they were meditating. Yeah, they were meditating and getting to know each other. And
okay.
Resetting themselves.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And apparently, while they were in Tibet, that's why we didn't hear about Joe's baby. Apparently they had the baby with them in Tibet too.
What?
Yeah, I missed that part too. I didn't even think about that in the episodes.
I mean, I didn't miss the baby. I didn't miss their baby. I don't even know the baby's name.
I don't even think fans know. Well, I'm sure the hardcore fans do, but I don't even know the baby's name. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad Joe's back. Like I missed him. Shark and Grodd was fun for a while, but I do kind of think they need to figure out something, because they've Grodd in a coma now, so I'm sure they can just put that on ice, because they struggle every year to find any reason to bring in Grodd.
Yeah,
It's like on Doctor Who, and they'd have they'd have to do a Dalek episode every year, they have to do a Cyberman episode, then you get to a certain point, you're like, well, we've kind of run this into the ground. We can't really do anything new with it.
Yeah,
now we're just doing this for the fans.
Yeah,
that's a dangerous place to be.
I will say it was fun. In terms of the scientists,
sure.
Of the show, where they brought the science or the shark science into that, and King Shark, me growing up as a Shark Week fan.
I was gonna say you're the only person I know that still watches Shark Week unironically.
Yeah, religiously.
Oh my god!
I was raised on it. You don't break tradition, dang it.
I know.
Anyway, when Grodd throws him up in the crane, tips him upside down. That's when sharks do that. Say the tonic and everything.
Sure.
To sleep. So that was cool to see. But the part where they had to revive him with the shooting the lightning bolt at him.
Yeah,
and
I know.
He jumps up and punches him with the... I'm like, come on. Well, that's just cheesy.
The Flash is cheesy. That's bread and butter is cheese.
That's true.
That's why it worked better than Arrow for long stretches, because Arrow got super grim and I was like, I can't do this every week.
Yeah.
No, it was fun. I had forgotten King Shark's cool origin story.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh yeah, he was a person.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that. So that was kind of cool. I'm pretty sure they'll retire that for a while.
Yeah. They retired it for a while the first time.
I think so, yeah. Like you won't, they won't try to work it in next year.
Yeah, and
so it's kind of nice.
And the fact that they put Grodd in a
coma,
where
he can't use his powers.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, it's good.
So yeah, that's a good way to kind of write him off for a
while. It was nice seeing them both.
Yeah,
and again, King Shark I hate that song.
Yeah.
If the person's listening that did Baby Shark, you deserve to be thrown into a pool of sharks. That is the worst, meanest thing, and you clearly don't have kids.
I mean, I know my son loves that song.
Yeah.
In the video.
Yeah.
My
daughter loves it, and it's like, oh,
it's a great kids movie, or movie, video, but when you start incorporating, I've heard people using that song in, spin class.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know. That would just be torture for
monsters.
Me. Yeah.
Or you're just the biggest masochist on the planet.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Spin class is already horrible enough, but
At least in spin class you had the suburban hip hop soundtrack. It would be a lot of B.O.B. and Nelly and a lot of Bruno Mars. But Baby Shark, who's working on the Baby Shark?
Yeah.
Ugh, that's like the worst earworm I've heard in a while. Whew. Good lord.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that concludes superhero shit. Let me quickly finally put some dirt on the Lakers. They're done. That's it. Right now they're getting mauled by the Denver Nuggets. Can you just check the score on that for me? I'm pretty sure it's still a lot to a little. this whole season's been a shit show. Now Kuzma's out. I don't remember the last time they've actually won a game. And they're probably going to lose to the struggling Celtics on Saturday, so yay. Well,
it's not as bad as you think. It's 87-85 with 10 minutes left in the fourth.
Oh, they'll blow it. they're done. Any talk about them getting the playoffs is ESPN just trying to drag it out because the season's over.
Well, and LeBron passed MJ for fourth all the time.
I know. He's coming. He passed Kobe on Saturday, I believe, on Saturday. He passed him on Monday. He passed him then. No, wait. No, Kobe's next. He would have passed Shaq, because then Kobe's number three all time. Then it goes Malone and Kareem for the scoring record.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, top three are like.
How far away is he from Kobe? Does it say?
Let me pull up the story.
Yeah, the Lakers are a shit show, and they can't. Their pick's gonna suck unless it's in the top 10 somewhere. I mean, it won't be top 5. They won too many games for that, but. It'll be a top 10, and maybe they could convince New Orleans to trade Davis if no one else jumps in. I don't know. Maybe they have a long shot at Kyrie Irving, which, fine.
Okay, so but, you got... Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
They got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as number one by Karl Malone, and then Kobe.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So LeBron passed MJ tonight. Whatever. It still doesn't make him better than MJ.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I'm going to go to my grave believing. And I'm not even biased. It's just, you know.
The truth.
It's the truth. And even if he passes Kobe, it's like, well, Kobe still has more rings, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean.
Don't get me wrong. I like LeBron as a player, but a lot of his shit this year, when he was pulling all that stuff in Cleveland, it worked because they were winning. But when it doesn't work, you really notice just how bad, like, from a leadership standpoint, he's been. You know, I'm pretty sure all those guys like don't really want to play with them because it's like you try to trade us like publicly many times like in February and it didn't happen and it blew up in your face, and now it's like you want us to be better. Like he's been trying to say all the right things this week. Like, well, it's really tough to ask him to be in a big situation like this, which in one hand is true, but on the other hand, it's like, well, you made it worse. Yeah. You and your best friend publicly lobbied for Anthony Davis and it didn't work out. So that sucks. Luke Walton's probably going to get fired, even though he doesn't deserve to get fired. All the hashtag fire Luke people can suck it. Although when Luke Walton's coaching for UCLA, I'll be happy. His dad's trying to get him the job.
Hey, you know what? If he can rebound like that, why not?
Yeah, no, coaches UCLA for a little while. Luke Walton wasn't much of a rebounder, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's going to be depressing when LeBron's choice of head coach comes in and he's going to be terrible because it's going to be Jason Kidd or Tyronn Lue or, God help me, Mark Jackson. basically, the Lakers have become where the Rams were for me like 4 years ago. Where we're just like, fuck. We have to do this another year.
That hard eye roll.
Yeah, you're like, all right, fine. Like, especially if they strike out in the summer. Like, if they end up having to, like, look at themselves like, well, we have all this money. Why don't we just pay Jimmy Butler? I will hang myself in my fucking closet. No team should be paying Jimmy Butler a ton of money because he's a fucking cancer.
Yep.
He got traded twice this year. And the Sixers situation's already... it's already kind of combusting, but they're holding it together because they know the playoffs are coming. Yeah. It sucks. And but then again, all the people saying, oh, it's a Clippers town now. No. Win something.
Yeah.
Yeah, win something. Anyway, that's my piece on the Lakers. I think I'll mention something else once they get mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. But that'll be it for now. And I'm sure I'll talk to Leslie and Bronna, the West Coast mix and bounce team, because they're great. They've been on the Lakers beat all year. You can listen to them on the Pulse Podcast Network, by the way. The last thing I want to talk about, just me, and then I have something else to bring up with you. But I finally saw The Favorite. Woo! And it was fun. It was a weird movie, but probably my second favorite Nicholas Hoult performance after Mad Max Fury Road, because he was a fucking bitch in that movie and it was amazing. Like, he was just a scheming, conniving. It was like a Game of Thrones, kind of Game of Thrones, like Littlefinger in Game of Thrones meets a character on Scandal kind of vibe.
Okay.
Emma Stone was amazing. Rachel Weisz is great. Olivia Colman definitely deserved that Oscar. Because she was great, too, and it was a fun movie. Oh, not fun. I don't want to call it fun, but it's a good dark comedy.
Okay.
You know, definitely, I definitely understand why my parents hated it, but it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Last thing. I think I want to circle this back to the NFL, because I think I had one more thing to talk about. 1 second. Let me just check this real quick. Sorry. Give me one moment. I know there's one more NFL thing I wanted to bring up that I'd forgotten to earlier. Oh, actually, no, I don't, but there was one thing I wanted to mention, and kind of on a side note, Alex Trebek announced that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And it's brutal. Like, he's been someone that's been in my life my entire life.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I would love to play Jeopardy! And, you know, especially the Will Ferrell thing. Yeah, well, the Will Ferrell impression made it even better. I just really hope he's able to beat it. I know stage 4 isn't the best place to be, but, you know.
Hey, we're pulling for you.
You know, he's a whole bunch of episodes banked, so that's good. But it's just still kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's been doing it since 84.
84.
So.
No, he's had a great run, and I'm hoping they just let him kind of retire on camera and just kind of go recover or, you know, just take care of himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this is it, he had a good run. I mean, he was, someone said this online, he was like basically Mr. Rogers for adults.
Pretty much,
yeah. That works. Like, very stern, like a real, kind of like a Mr. Feeney, a stern teacher who was just kind of disappointed, you just got like a B.
Yeah.
He knows you could do better. And God help him, like, his best skill was juggling when they talk to the contestant, like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, always people who had, like, really mundane jobs or hobbies, and he's like, all right.
Let's make this interesting.
It's like, okay, great, good for you, man.
Yeah.
So next week we're going to talk about Captain Marvel. The NFL free agency is going to heat up. I'm sure there'll be a lot more gossip.
Yeah.
A lot more gossip. Well, Friday, Antonio Brown's probably going to be on a new team.
Yeah, so we'll have to recap that.
We'll have to recap that. Let's see. There isn't much else TV wise because, you know, we still don't have Thrones.
Yeah.
I'll preview Billions next week. That'll be fun. That comes back on St. Patrick's Day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that is next week.
No, well, next Sunday.
Oh, no, I'm just saying St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I know. We're already there. Yeah. Time for my annual rewatch of Homer versus the 18th Amendment. Oh, my God.
Such a great episode.
I can already see him, see his stills blowing up in the basement. I'll talk about Billions, and I'm sure a bunch of other shit will happen the second we stop recording.
Which usually happens.
Like, yeah. It's something will break.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for Wes Campbell, say goodnight, Wes.
Say goodnight, Wes.
I'm Chauncey Talese. This has been LA Confidential. Please listen to us and download us on the Pulse Podcast Network and SportsAdante.com. Once again, promo code LA Confidential for 10% off SportsAdante's amazing packages. And thank you to TixBlix. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.